Hello and welcome back, folks. Today again, we're going to talk to Shashank, who unfortunately is a very dear friend of mine. And so we've spoken to Shashank pretty often on a lot of different topics, but I probably have never spoken about who Shashank is. So Shashank currently works for Amazon. He was a software development engineer. Then he was a technical program manager for a short while, and now he's an engineering manager. So that's kind of, who Shashank is. So it'll kind of is actually a very good lead into what we're going to discuss today. And this is something, Shashank, you and I have been discussing at length for quite a while. I'm just going to really get started here. So the first thing is, Shashank, there are project managers, there are program managers, and there's a difference between the two. So can you please explain?
Hey, nice to talk to you again on this. That's a very interesting question, and people conflate the two roles a lot. So a project manager is focused on delivery of just one piece of software or hardware or whatever, but it's very delivery focused and it's only on one delivery at a time. And a project manager basically is focused on just coordinating different assets or resources that contribute to this delivery and making sure things just fall in place and timelines are ahead. And that is what a project manager is. So essentially is managing the project and shepherding it to completion. A program manager does not just focus on a project, but focus on a larger aspect across the program. So what that means is focusing and shepherding not only what a current project they're working on, but basically paving the road for future projects. And when you say paving the road, it essentially means identifying who your dependencies are, informing them about your upcoming projects, making sure that their systems are designed with your future needs in mind, making sure that complexities which are potentially there in a project are identified and solutions to that are kind of figured out early in the process. So it is, and you basically become the main point to unblock and enable things to be delivered. And ultimately I look at a program manager as a true force multiplier.
So I just have a follow-up question based on what you said, Shashank. So when you're saying the resources that a project manager manages, they could be people, like human beings, like you and me, but yeah. I presume they could be hardware, software, or anything else. Is that fair?
Exactly. So making sure if you're trying to deliver a piece of software and you need, and it's going to take a high volume of requests, you need to make sure you're securing that hardware, right? Mm. Trying to secure that hardware also is part of the project plan. But that is, again, a very small piece of the larger aspect of what a program manager does.
Okay. The way you explained it, Shashank, it looks like there is, there's a set of responsibilities that a project manager has, and then, a program manager has a lot more responsibility in terms of who they are and what they do and what they're supposed to deliver. Is this a natural progression, or are they different muscles? Okay. Mm-hmm.
It is a natural progression. But also the piece of a project manager is very, very, very execution focused and on the here and now. While a program manager, on the other hand, is focused on the future. It's a more strategic role, but also at the same time, you are able to enforce change by unblocking and driving specific discussions and pushing agendas through. A project manager is more about statuses or looking at what's being blocked and just say, hey, I'm blocked over here. Can somebody unblock it? versus a program manager who would go in and say, hey, we are blocked because of X and Y reasons. We need one, two, and three things to be done. Mm-hmm. And once those are done, we can get unblocked. And I want teams A, B, and C to do those three things.
A follow-up question on this, is it easy for a project manager to become a program manager?
It is a natural progression. I don't know whether I can call it easy or not. It's essentially from focusing on the here and now and delivering on a very defined scope, being able to start thinking strategically. And that is what is required to make that step up.
So, program managers versus another term that we've heard from the tech industry is technical program managers. Compare and contrast, Shashank.
Oh, that's a very good question. The technical program manager, TPM, that is very interesting position because what you need, so we spoke about how a program manager unblocks and thinks strategically.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can think about something strategically from a delivery perspective as well. And you could think about as a program manager from a technical aspect. So a technical program manager, when they're looking at delivery of a combination of things over a span of 2-3 years, you're laying out the technical vision. So you have a product manager who'll basically lay out the product vision. But then how do you go about executing it? How do you deliver if you have the ultimate vision? You can't deliver everything in one go. You need to basically build them out in phases, deciding what phases have to be built and why they have to be built in a specific order and what technologies need to be used to build them out. What are the complexities involved and why? Those things are something a technical program manager will help with. But also when there is issues, there are blockers that come in while delivering something, diving deep, understanding the technical complexity of why something is complex and driving discussions on what should be the decision. Like if there is something which is technically very challenging, do you put in a short-term fix to deliver a goal and then focus later on to build the true long-term technical solution, or you bite the bullet, delay the dates and implement the right technical solution? Contrasting these two and making those decisions is something which a program manager has to, or a technical program manager has to work with. So that means identifying, if we take a short-term approach, what is the technical debt? What does it truly mean for the team in terms of operational burden or just a developer velocity, and versus what does it mean if we bite the bullet and delay it? Like, hey, if we bite the bullet and delay our timelines, it could just be a 2-month delay. 2-month delay does not mean a lot in the overall scheme of things. And that data has to be presented, that story, the narrative has to be presented. So those are the challenges which a technical program manager has to do, which is what is different from a program manager.
Okay, so this is getting very interesting, Shashank. Now, I'm just going to stay on this topic. I'm going to double click on this because it's fascinating. Can you tell me the day-to-day responsibilities of a technical program manager?
Yeah, for sure. This is interesting. There is no defined day. The way a technical program manager should think about their role is there are seasons, and you have to prepare for different seasons in a different way. So as yearly planning comes around, how do you start? You put on your strategic hat. Okay, and you think about, hey, what do we need to do next year? Work with your product manager, figure out what the technical vision is. For the product vision is, work with the engineering manager to figure out resourcing, put out the technical roadmap on how things should get delivered, working with both of your key stakeholders. And basically be the voice of reason in the room. And when things are ambitious, we go like, hey, we need to step back. Is this a reasonable expectation for the following year? That is when we come to planning season. Then you can think about when you start looking at projects that need to be executed early in the project. How do you lay things out? How do you pave the way for the project? Working with your dependencies and stakeholders early and saying, hey, this is what we need from you, these are timelines, and creating that path so that you don't have unexpected surprises. That is one aspect of a program manager. Then when you come to delivery season, right, how do you deliver this in the most effective way, where you're working very closely with the engineers to make sure that you're able to deliver it quickly, at the same time deliver a high quality? How do you ensure the quality bar is there? So it's very season dependent, as I would like to call it.
That's interesting. So what are the characteristics of a good technical program manager then, Shashank?
That's a really good question. Yeah, you can have TPMs who come in all different forms, but the most important things are, number one, you're able to drive alignment. And what do you mean by driving alignment? What the product is thinking, the engineers are thinking the same thing. So you are the glue. You're able to understand what the product manager is thinking about from their technical, from their product vision. Okay. You communicate the same thing to the engineers. Make sure they actually understand the vision. If there's any discrepancy, you put people in the room and make sure that, hey, I think there is a gap over here. Let's close the gap. And that's just one aspect of product manager and engineer. You'll also be working across multiple teams. So making sure each of those teams understand what their project boundaries are and ensure how interaction works between each of them. Creating that ability of understanding that alignment, that is very important. Also, the alignment can come as part of paving the road, as I mentioned, making sure that, hey, this is what's happening. You need to build this feature X because we are building something else, which is going to need feature X, which our team is going to provide because you own that as part of your charter. That is alignment. Second is building trust. This might not seem very important when you're at a smaller organization of maybe 20, 30 people, because you work closely with everyone on a daily basis. But when you start working in organizations which are a few hundred people or more, everybody does not know everybody. Making sure that your team can be trusted by someone else, or that team can be trusted by your team, it's important. So building mechanisms that can help build trust, at the same time building trust with your leaders to make sure that when they give you something and say, hey, can you get this done, you're able to deliver on that. That is important. And hence, building trust, that becomes very vital. And third is communication, which is kind of goes hand in hand with alignment and trust. Being able to communicate things early and identifying, oh, this could potentially be an issue, and communicate it very clearly, saying, hey, I don't think this is an issue, but this could be an issue. Can you look into it and confirm, yes, this hypothesis are true or not? And the last piece is being able to look around the corners. So looking around the corners would mean that you see what's happening, how the program is being laid out, how you're working with the product manager and the business requirements is being laid out, and you see there is ambiguity around it. Identifying what that ambiguity could mean and working with the product manager to refine them, or looking at the delivery plan with your engineers and realizing that the delivery plan looks off. Identifying that something could potentially be impacting your delivery or any part of the project and your timelines, and communicating it to the right people is important. So those are, in my view, the four key pillars of what drives a successful TPM.
So what is the most challenging of all these, Shashank? Or is it something else, like being a TPM?
I think each of them have their own different challenges of the four pillars. I think as the scale of the organization grows, alignment gets trickier, right? For a new TPM, being able to see around the corners is the hardest, because when I say new TPM, it could be because you just came into this role, it could be that you switched companies. So if you don't have tenure, you don't understand how systems work at a deep level. So your ability to see around the corners can get tricky. So based on where you are in your career as a TPM, each of them can be its own unique challenge. Or even like if you're working with a bunch of teams that are across different regions of the world, communication can become very tricky and challenging. How do you make sure that happens? So each of them have their own unique flavors, and I can't pinpoint and say one. I think all four pillars are important.
This is fascinating. Okay. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit, Shashank. And so assume I'm this really smart kid out of college, and I want to become a technical program manager. So I say, okay, that's my first role out of college. I want to do this. One, good idea, bad idea, your advice. And two, if the advice is saying bad idea, then I'd like to ask why and what's the path?
Simple answer, it's a bad idea. And the reason why is, especially when you're in the technical field, I don't care if you're eventually you want to become a product manager, an engineering manager, a program manager. You will need to learn how to code and understand what are the challenges with coding. So when you're in college, the coding you do, the technical aspect you do, is very, very different from what you do when you're working for a company. They have their own set of challenges, and you have to deal with them. And when you're a program manager, a product manager, or engineering manager, as part of your communication skills, you need to create empathy. And you're not able to create that empathy and put yourself in the engineer's shoes if you've never been an engineer. Because like a good example is understanding whether what you're planning to deliver for the upcoming year as part of planning season, you could have potentially been like, oh yeah, we'll deliver the 6 things. On the surface, they might seem easy, but if you're an engineer, you might not realize that, hey, there could be complexities because of the technologies you're using. Have we accounted for that? There could be a learning curve. There could be things like, hey, you need to start hiring people. But when you hire people, they won't be productive from day one. They will need a ramp-up period. Depending on the complexity of your projects, your ramp-up period could be anywhere from 2 weeks to even 6 months. So what does it mean? So being able to call those things out is very important. And that also is part of what I call looking around the corners. And you can't do that aspect if you have not walked a mile in the shoes of an engineer.
So on that note then, assume I'm a technical program manager and I have career aspirations to grow. What do my next steps in terms of career progression look like?
Okay, so I would start with, first when you're straight out of college, what do you do? Straight out of college, you start coding, understand the fundamentals of engineering and software development. Get promoted to like a level, the next level. So you are able to get responsibility, understand what responsibility means. Because when you're a program manager, I look at a program manager, an engineering manager, a product manager, or a tech lead as essentially the first levels of leadership. To get to leadership, you need to first show you're able to promote, you're able to get promoted. Get promoted, show that you have your fundamentals and your basics right. Once you get promoted, identify which path you want to go to. If you're great at visualizing how projects should be delivered, understand, are able to think strategically at the same time, a TPM might be a good career path for you. Because you're a great communicator, you know how to bring people together. This is your skill set. So then you start with as a TPM, you started with junior TPM and start rising up ranks. And rising up the ranks would essentially mean looking at projects which are of smaller scope, smaller impact, and growing to start dealing with projects which are very ambiguous with multiple teams involved and trying to drive decisions. And a TPM, like a product manager, are individual contributor roles. And as you're rising up the ladder, it's more about dealing with problems which are more complex and ambiguous.
Okay, and what is my next step? So once I'm, let's say, I hit the ceiling on a TPM, where can I go next?
So like, I can give you an answer from an Amazon perspective, right? You essentially start as the most junior level is a TPM. This is a regular technical program manager, which is level 5. And then you move to a senior technical program manager, to level 6. A TPM 5 is very specific on specific goals, well-defined charter. The next level, a senior TPM, is focused more on a little more nebulous things, a little more vague, a little more strategic, and driving across multiple teams potentially. And then you go to a principal, a technical program manager. We are driving large initiatives across multiple organizations. And when I say multiple organizations, you're dealing with team like 10 to 15 teams at a time, potentially with tens of engineers working on it. That level of complexity. And then you're doing great there. You basically move into a role called a technical advisor, where you start thinking at such a strategic level where you're probably even thinking about, as you bring in your TPM skills on like how things should be rolled out, but you don't think about it from specific project deliveries, but you start thinking about like technology initiatives and how they should be rolled out, right? And a technical advisor, basically in the Amazon term, is equivalent to a director, right? And from there, if you're really good, you can do a couple of things. You could potentially move into being a director. You could stay there. Like I look at anywhere from a senior TPM to a technical advisor as all being terminal levels. And depending on how much of an influence you want to have and whatnot, you can go up the ladder. You could coast at the same level. It does not matter.
So this was the list of questions I had in mind for you, Shashank, but I have a note here that says Web 3.0 and the evolution of the internet. So when are you free to talk about that?
I would love to talk about that. We should definitely schedule some time and make sure that we have a conversation.
Okay. So I think for those watching, please stay tuned. I'm sure I'm going to bombard Shashank with a few of these Web 3.0 questions. But I'd like to say, Shashank, thanks a lot. I think it's always very insightful talking to you. I know we've spoken about this topic a little bit in a very, you know, conversational, unstructured way. But I really like this conversation because it was very structured. It had specific questions and some amazing answers from you. So thank you, Shashank.
Glad I could help. Also, I'm going to put in a shameless plug over here. If you're in the US and you're a software engineer, I am hiring. Please feel free to reach out to me.
Okay, so then I'll probably put some link that will help people get to you as well, Shashank.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Take care.
Yeah. Nice talking to you. Bye.